It's raw, uncut, unscripted. This is where real conversations are had and truths are told. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
What's happening, family? Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Black Couch Chronicles podcast. I'm your main man, TJ Chapman, and we got a special guest tonight in the building. He's the City of Ocoee's black man. We got to say that because it's not a lot of black men that's in the City of Ocoee that's a commissioner. And I remember his race when he was running, and he was successful because he's here joining me tonight. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Commissioner Oliver of the City of Ocoee. Welcome, sir.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me here, man. I appreciate you calling me. I got the phone call, and I had to show up for the show, man. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, absolutely, man, because I remember when you first ran years ago and, came on the TJ Chapman show, and I've always said my platform was your platform. Anything that you need, just come through. And I ran into you at MLK event that I was hosting. And, we chopped it up and that's when I was like, hey, I'm getting ready to, start a spinoff show. I'd definitely love to, have you join us. And look at that. Things happen. And yeah,
absolutely. That's right. Yeah, man. You know what? I was excited, man, to see you doing your thing on that stage. I actually got a chance to go backstage and see from the other side of how this thing works and how you guys produce and perform. So it was exciting to do that and then also get to invite it to your new spinoff show. Oh yeah, definitely had to show up for that.
I definitely love it, man, because like this show is all about having real conversations. And truths are actually told. Most people think like, oh, this is like an interview. No, it's not an interview. We just chopping it up. I know most people call it, barbershop talk or whatever. But this is just more of, two individuals, sitting down and, one of my managers like to say, break bread. Absolutely. And then have a good time. So how's things been though? Like it's been years and you're still riding out as the commissioner. How's things been since being in office?
You know what? Since we took office in 2018, and that has been, I can say at least it's been a journey. It's been a serious journey. It's been a journey. It's like a roller coaster ride. Okay. I've had some valley lows. I've had some mountain highs. Dealing with the politics of the city, and some of the issues that we deal with in the city or have dealt with in the past. The good thing about it is I have seen us go from a city where we have a lot of remnants of hatred, where a lot of has been kind of has dissipated, starting to dissipate, and I'm starting to see people more together, start to do things more together as one city, as one unit, and I'm proud of that. I'm really, really proud of how far we've come as a city since I've taken office, but I'm also sad too. I'm sad because of how far we have to go, not only as a city or as a community, but also as a state and as a nation. We have a long ways to go when it comes to how we unify people and the conversations that we have when it comes to politics, when it comes to family, when it comes to religion, when it comes to so many different issues that we have been polarized in the city. So, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
I'm also hopeful that I can be one of the ones that will make a difference when it comes to bringing people together.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the, a lot of people don't understand what a city commissioner does, and I think this is like a perfect opportunity to tell folks like what is your like major role as a city commissioner? What's your responsibility? How do the people resonate to you and be like, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. So what is the actual role?
That's an excellent question, too, because a lot of folks don't understand what a city commissioner does. I'm really a conduit. I am the bridge between the people and government. And when I say government, things that affect people every day, such as just picking up your trash or if you roll your trash can out to the road and the wheel's broken on it. Well, who do you call? You call me. You call your city commissioner. So it's not a glamorous job per se. And I didn't get in for that. I got into it to serve people. And there's so many different issues we deal with. People deal with they want to expand their homes. They want to add paving on their driveways. There's trees falling, in the backyard or actually on the street. Things like that. I get calls for all kind of things like that. Everything just shy of a cat stuck in a tree that we get those calls. and for me, it's a phone call. Mm. I make phone calls. I talk to people and people that can get the things done because I'm not the one that's doing the work. It's the city staff that does the work. I make the phone call to say, this is what's going on. How do we get that fixed? They come up with the solutions. And then, a lot of folks call me back and say, no, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Right. But I have to let people know I didn't do it. All I really did was made a phone call on your behalf. The people that really did the work were the firefighters, the police officers, the public workers, the sanitation workers.
Yeah.
They're the ones that actually got the work done. So they're the ones that get all the praise and all this.
Man, look, see, so I didn't think people was like that, but I understand people like that. I'm finna call the fire department. I'm finna call, my city commissioner. Hey, little Bootsy up there in the tree stuck again. Y'all need to send somebody out here.
Yeah. Believe it or not, those calls come in like that. I've gotten a call saying there's an alligator came out my retention pond. Right. So, we had to I actually got in my car and went over there and looked at it. Oh, yeah, that's an alligator out there. So we called the police department. And believe it or not, there was an officer that actually trapped the alligator, put him in the trunk, and actually connected with wildlife and was able to turn this gator over. I don't know what they did with it, but we get calls like that all the time. And people just—
Gator ain't messing with nobody.
Yeah.
Y'all in my territory. I'm staying right here. Don't touch me. I ain't gonna touch you. Don't mess with me. Hey, everything. And you talking about little Boosie, little cat in the tree?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. When they get tired and hungry, they climbed up.
They'll come back down. Absolutely, they'll come back down.
I feel that on.
That's the lighter side of it, But we get into more things like. Property taxes.
Man,
I get a lot of questions about that. We're getting things like ad valorem, non-ad valorem fees that we assess for different things like that.
Yeah.
We get into so many different things, development issues versus green space versus development. So we get into a lot of different heavy issues that we are called to be a conduit for the citizens and be a voice for them when we're sitting at the table at City Hall or I'm that voice in the room when we're having these discussions. And in City Hall during our meetings, I'm the table at the chair for the residents of the city as well.
Man, now you said something very interesting about property taxes. Now you probably heard the state of Florida, they just voted and it passed. I believe it was like 80% of the votes that property taxes is going to be avoided. Be avoided and taken away. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
We got to figure out the importance of, cause when they say, I ain't got to pay taxes on my property anymore, I always thought it was kind of shady to have to pay property taxes on your own property. But I thought about it, I'm like, hold on, did I buy this land? No, you didn't buy it. Did I buy this house? Yeah, you somewhat bought it, but you didn't build it.
Mm-hmm.
These developers built it. So maybe that's where property taxes came from, or like, what's your take now that has been voted in?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because I really would like to take a quick deep dive into what that really means.
Okay,
property taxes. You pay property tax. Let's say, for instance, that phone. You own your phone. Bought that phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that phone doesn't work unless there's a service provider that's providing service for that phone. Am I not correct?
Oh, yeah.
You got to pay AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, you got to pay somebody to provide services for that particular phone, right?
Okay.
So look at property taxes, something similar to that. Now, case in point, you bought your house, you bought the land, you own it all. And some people would argue, if I own all this, why am I continuing to pay a county or the state taxes on this land? Well, okay. somebody's breaking in your house. You make a phone call, say, hey, look, I need the police, somebody's breaking my house, or, guess what? Your property taxes pay that salary. My house is on fire. And if it takes extra, you have no property taxes, if it takes extra 5 minutes for that firefighter to get there, or that fire truck to get there, it's a matter of, are you going to have a house in 5 minutes, or the house is going to be saved by a firefighter being there. So when you look at your first responders, you think about your police, your fire, those property taxes actually go to pay for those services. Also, in addition to that, we live in Florida. We get hurricanes. So we have hurricanes in Florida. What happens if the hurricanes come through and they done blew through and they leave this path of destruction? And then when it's all over with, we got blue skies and sunshine, and then we got debris everywhere. So guess what? You got a tree down in your front yard. You can't get out your neighborhood because there's a tree blocking your entrance. Well, your property taxes pays to actually have that stuff removed. When you flush your toilet and the water goes through, we don't think nothing about it. That water got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Your property taxes help pay for those services.
Wow.
So what happens if you get rid of property taxes?
That's my next question. So is the funds going to go, like, where the money going to come from at this point? What are they going to raise in the, you know, in that county or in that state if you get rid of property taxes that, like you just said, was help pays for this, all the necessity things that you don't think about until you actually need them.
Okay.
So if they get rid of it, what a money and resource going to come from now to pay them folks?
So look at large municipalities such as Orlando. Orlando's a large municipality.
Yes.
Tallahassee.
Yes.
Tampa. Miami.
Yes.
Those cities are large enough to actually sustain themselves through what they call non-avalon fees to kind of make up for that. And some of the cities also have some very unique programs as to how they invest their dollars that comes into the city and bring revenue in.
Okay.
Well, think about smaller cities like Ocoee or Apopka,
right,
or Zellwood or Sorrento, places like that, which they're not municipalities, they're townships, but they're smaller cities with 50,000 or more residents that may not be able to sustain that. Okay. How about the city of Oakland? When you have a smaller population, and now all of a sudden, 80% of their revenue comes from property taxes, right? Now, you take that away. If that goes away, now you're looking at municipalities saying, hey, we can't afford our police, we can't afford our fire, we can't afford our utilities. So what happens at that point?
The county
takes over. The county says, you know what? We'll take that over if you can't handle that.
Yeah.
Come on into the fold. We'll take care of your fire. We'll take care of your police. We'll take care of your water. We'll take care of all of that stuff for you. We're not even going to charge you a tax.
Wow.
But what we're going to do is we're going to charge you a non-avalon fee. And so that money, that $5,000 that you saved in your property taxes, they're going to take it in a fee. And then on the flip side of that, you have insurance companies. In the housing, the insurance people that are insuring your house, the house that you bought, that you paid for, right? Now your insurance rate's going to start going. They're going to lobby for it because you know what? Oh, wow. We're going to say, okay, Mr. Chapman got another $5,000 in his pocket. So what we're going to do, we're going to raise his rate. So we need to get some of that money. But guess what? The money that you think you're saving, you ain't saving it. You lost your fire. You've lost your police department. And now you're paying some fee that you can't quite understand. It has no ceiling.
Yeah.
It has no regulation at all, and they're taking that money from you through a fee, and then all of a sudden insurance rates start going up.
Yeah.
Now the money that I thought I was saving, it's gone.
Man, wow. That's some gems right there. Cause a lot of folks like myself, I mean, I do a lot of research, you know, on certain things, and property taxes was one of those things, and you kind of like just dumbed it down.
Yeah.
Like, this is what property taxes are used for, is to help pay for this, help pay for that, help pay for. So all of that makes sense now. So if you get rid of it, now it's like, okay, what are funds going to come from? And that's what a lot of people now are arguing about. Like, oh, they're going to raise up this, they're going to raise up that. They ain't really take none away. They got to supplement it some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just said makes perfect sense.
I'm going to add just a little bit to that as well. Now, they did vote to actually not do it with property tax. They voted to get it on the ballot.
Because they still got to get to the Senate.
So now in August, exactly. So in August, we're going to see something on the ballot. There's about three or four bills out there that they're promoting to put on the ballot about property taxes.
Yeah.
Which one is going to hit the ballot, I'm not really sure. But there's going to be something on the ballot that's going to challenge you as a citizen, as a taxpayer, to say, mm-hmm. do I want to keep this money in my pocket? Or do I really understand if I do away with property taxes, vote do away with it, what does it really mean to me?
Yeah.
Now, also, another thing that we have to look at, too, is how would the county react to those kind of things?
Mm.
You know, so the county would look at this and say, well, okay, we're faced with this. We've already faced with some budget restraints and different things like that. Even though the county is poised to spend over $10 billion in the next 5 years on capital improvement projects, infrastructure projects, and those kind of things, they're still strapped the budget locally as far as what do we do, how do we respond if we get the property tax revenue. Well, one of the next best things that I've been hearing is that there's a possibility of our retail tax going from 6.5% to maybe 8 to 9%.
So that might be how to supplement. Well,
that's how that's one way to supplement it. But that's definitely on the table. It has to be on the table.
Yeah, because you got to replace it somehow or another. And if replacing one tax to raise another tax, and I think that's where a lot of citizens are going to really have to do their research to find out, you know, which one is more important to you. You know, are you just focusing on, yes, finally, I ain't got to pay no property taxes. But what's being raised behind the scenes now? You used to go here. I remember this thing used to cost $1.25. Now this thing up to $1.89.
Yeah.
So that's probably what happened with the dollar store. I remember everything. Hey, 99 cents.
The dollar store is now the $5 store.
Oh, yeah. $5, now $7.
Now 10 and below.
Man, look at here, I tell you. Now, now as a commissioner in Ocoee, right, there's a lot of history there, a lot of history. And I'm going to just say this, and then you can tell your side of it. 1920, election, Ocoee massacre. Mm-hmm. What's your story on that, now being a commissioner? Because there's been a lot of stuff out there surrounding that. You know, you got a memorial for it. A lot of people didn't want to put that out there. Like, what do you remember about that massacre? Cause obviously, I mean, I don't think you were born in 1920.
No.
But you had to know the history when you decided to put your name on the ballot to become the city commissioner. So what's your take on that?
Well, you know what? There's several stories out there. You know, his story, her story, what the story in the middle, the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is the only way to truly describe the Ocoee massacre and what really happened there is, excuse me, a lot of folks talk about the voting. You have Mose Norman that went to the polls to vote, because during that year, it was a presidential election.
Yep.
It was also a big year for women, because women were actually the first time voting.
Yep.
Women's rights. Mm-hmm. Women, that bill had passed. A lot of women were going to the polls to vote for the president.
Yep.
African-Americans were going to the polls. So they saw it as a threat. A lot of folks across the nation saw it as a threat to a certain way of life. And what happened in the city of Ocoee is you have one man that went to go vote. Judge Cheney had been registering African Americans to vote at the time locally. He go to vote, and then some kind of melee happens while he went to go side to vote. And he was told that he left and went back and got some more folks, had some more conversation with some folks that were blocking the polls, and they left there. And they said that he went to Dulai Perry's house. And a mob ensued after him, and it started this massacre.
Yeah,
you know, and then after this massacre, so it was November 1st of 1920 that November 2nd, 1920 that they were going to the polls. But by November 3rd, by sunrise, there was no more African Americans in the city. They started with 268 African Americans living in the city of Ocoee, but by November 3rd or November 4th, there were none living there at all. Had they been killed or ran out of the city?
Yeah.
So we look at that, and then in the days ensuing, all of a sudden, land was being sold.
Being sold.
Property was being sold. Livestock was being sold. All these things being sold from the African Americans that so-called abandon their property.
Yeah.
So you look at it from that perspective, and we could always look at it, and that's the nice way to look at it. You know, they died for the right to vote. Well, you know what? There was a whole economic component to that.
Mm.
So how do you justify taking the land? See, it was economic.
Yeah.
It was there was an economic goal behind that. You can't just go and take somebody's land without having some reason
or
coming up with some reason. So that reason for voting, that became the number one reason for you have mobs of white men taking the land from, it was economics. It was an agenda that was put forth probably a long time before it even happened.
Yeah.
They just needed a reason to invoke that agenda.
Yeah.
So you're talking about hundreds of acres of land.
Yeah.
Buildings.
Yeah.
Livestock. Cars.
Yeah.
Buggies. Horses. All these different things were just taken from them and, you know, burnt to the ground or taken away. And the justification was now coming, you can buy this land that our African Americans left behind.
So you have to look
a little deeper into this. So don't stop at the surface of just voting rights.
Right.
Get a little deeper into the economics of why that happened.
Wow, that's just one of them stories, because I'm big when it comes to history, because a lot of history right now is either trying to be whitewashed. They don't want it to be told. Mm-hmm. They're taking it out of schools,
mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and it's kind of like, what are you ashamed about when it comes to history? Because I like to tell this story all the time. When you think of the Boston Tea Party,
yep,
what came from the Boston Tea Party? Colonials was under the British command.
Correct.
Did not like the fact they had to pay all these taxes. They had to do this. They had to do that. They wanted to break away from it.
Correct.
So they say. But really what they wanted to do was do it themselves. Correct. They wanted to find a way, hey, you know what? I like what they're doing. I know we'll never be able to do what we want to do.
We do that for ourselves.
For ourselves.
Yeah.
So hence come the American Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
So they start fighting until we all know as of today, Independence Day, yeah, where the 13 original colonies, you know, formed. And hey, now we're no longer getting taxed like that. Now we're finna tax the people that is upon us now.
Yeah.
So now
yeah,
we got to get our own money. Yeah. So if you do not have what we want, we're probably gonna come after you. But everybody has something that somebody wants.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about Christopher Columbus discovering. Man, you discovered that you came over here and you saw folks already here. That's what you discovered.
Yeah.
You discovered like, oh my, I didn't know this land was here. Well, okay, yeah, it's here, and it got people here.
But you know, you bring up an excellent point there. You talked about the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
And I've read that story many, many, many times. And you just gave me a revelation about what you just said. The fact that every great historical movement started with some moment.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what I thought about? Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
I said, yep, the Boston Tea Party started the Revolutionary War, which, again, the hidden agendas was, they're doing it to us. How can we do it for ourselves, yeah, you know, to someone else?
Yep. How can we get in charge of that?
Exactly.
And we giving them all their money, because right now, you think about it, you got, you know, we got to pay taxes. Like, wait a minute, hold on. I go to this job 8 hours a day, work 80 hours a week, and you mean to tell me I got to give you my hard-earned money?
Mm-hmm.
I got to give you something you ain't did nothing? Well, you get a little piece of it back called, you know, income tax. You get a little bit of back at the end of the year. Nah, yeah, nah, I shouldn't have to pay nothing to you, because you didn't earn this. I did.
Exactly.
So
yeah, absolutely.
And they took that idea from, you know, from the British, saying like, all right, you know what? I want to do it for us so I can tax our people.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell them,
absolutely,
this is what,
yeah,
we're going to do.
Absolutely.
And to this day, that's why everything, because now, you know, they starting to put a bill for these e-bikes now. You know, the bikes that got a little,
yep,
that can go fast now, but mm-hmm, you still can pedal if you want to pedal it.
Yep.
Of course.
Well, absolutely. I mean, again, anytime you see the opportunity to seize revenue in anything, when there is money behind anything, or there is a economic driver for anything, there's always going to be someone that wants to regulate it somehow. They're going to figure out how to regulate it. How do we actually regulate to the fold of, I mean, even to
we
the
want
point
a piece
right,
of that.
Right now,
I like that. I mean, a piece of that. How can I get a piece of
it? The internet was designed to be free.
Yeah.
The internet was designed to be free.
And now you got
to
pay for it.
And now we're paying for it. We all pay for it.
Think about it. You got to pay for it now.
Yeah.
If not, you're going to be out of touch,
down,
out of mind.
You're absolutely. You're isolated. But you know something, though? I'm going to say something to you. There's nothing wrong with being isolated. Sometime when you're isolation, in your isolation, that is your true elevation. That's how you start to elevate, through, yeah, isolation.
Yep.
So I challenge somebody, just turn your phone off for 24 hours and sit there, pray, think, and meditate. You'll be amazed at what you will learn, not only about yourself, but what you'll learn about your beliefs and who you believe in,
like
the God we all believe in. And coming out of that after 24 hours, your mindset may be just a little bit different, and you may be just on the pathway to purpose and destiny through isolation.
Yeah, because we done, like, internet, I remember wasn't even a thought. And when you did get it, it was like, oh my gosh, just how you use it. Now you can't get a job without going online. You can't walk into a brick and mortar place no more and be like, hey, can I get an application? Oh yeah, you just go to this website. Yeah. How are you gonna go to the website? You gotta have internet.
Got an internet, gotta have a phone, you know. And think about the generation that grandparents that just don't have that or don't know how to maneuver that.
Yeah.
Or don't have anyone around them that actually can be the conduit and use it for them.
Yep.
This generation or our technology is leaving a whole generation of folks behind. And that's one of the things that I have to think about. You know, as I'm running for Orange County District 2, I have to think about people like that. I have to think about our elderly. I think about our youth. I think about how we bridge that gap between right. the two. And think about how we protect their way of life, you know, from every aspect of it.
Yeah. Man, that's the way things have changed. Because I know in my last podcast, you know, we talked about, you know, cereal. You know, how cereal today is not the same as back in, you know, my day or your day where, you know, you had your Cocoa Puffs where the milk turned chocolate, your Apple Jacks that turned the pink.
Yeah.
Now all it just stay white.
Yeah. Yeah. It's things are changing. My mom probably pins it best because growing up, my mom was always into herbal life. She was always into organic stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought she was just crazy.
Yeah.
I'm serious. My brothers and sisters, we thought my mom is crazy. Hmm. She walks around with a bag with these herbal life pills, making us take papaya pills and all this other stuff in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
All these vitamins we take before I get up and go. And everything we're eating is organic. And I didn't use toothpaste until I was 18 or 19 when I left my house. I didn't use deodorant until I was about 19 when I left the house to join the military. My mom would make us use baking soda. Different things like for baking soda to brush your teeth, baking soda as deodorant. And my friends thought my mom was just bananas. But she was really onto something. She would always talk about the chemicals that they put in these foods are changing our physiology.
Yeah.
That's changing the way we live. People are living a lot less. It's promoting a lot of cancers. And my mom was not a physician.
Yeah,
my mom was just a regular. She was a beautician, but that's just the way she thought. And to this day, she's still alive, and she still takes Herbalife.
I know what you mean by putting stuff in these different foods now because. Now you got these elementary jits standing at 5'9", and they only in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you feeding this kid?
Yeah.
You got grown behind bodies,
hormones,
and it's kind of like what are they doing to the food? And they want
hormonal treatment.
They want to pass it off as it's FDA approved. But did you realize this is what it was going to do?
Do you realize how quickly you go from an egg to a full grown chicken? Do you realize how quickly that process is?
Yeah.
I watched something on History Channel or A&E. It was one of them channels about processing of food, and they went to the chicken farm. I saw an egg, and then weeks later, I saw a full-grown chicken, and they actually harvest those chickens at different levels. So again, you go eat chicken wings, you get a little bit of chicken wings, that's a little chicken.
That's a little chicken.
You go somewhere else.
You go to churches.
And they got the big chickens.
That was a big chicken.
It's a matter of weeks to process from eggs to full grown chickens.
Wow.
So, but we're assuming that in our bodies. Don't get me wrong. I love some chicken. I don't eat pork or beef, but my options are very limited.
Okay.
I have chicken, turkey, and seafood. That's all I can eat.
So you mean tell me you don't do no you don't go to the rib shack and get you no rib sandwiches?
No pork, no beef. I've been off that since about 4 years now.
Man.
And it all started as a fast. I was just fasting pork, beef,
just see what
alcohol.
Happened.
But believe it or not, the longer you do it and the more you pray about it, you'll be amazed how much you don't miss it. You'll be amazed that I really don't miss this no more. And I started for 30 days.
Yeah.
Then I went to 60 days, 90 days, a year later, 2 years later, I haven't missed it. Haven't skipped the beat.
I always thought you can just eat that stuff in moderation and not get carried away with it.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, I don't eat a lot of red meat either, but I cook it, but I do it in moderation though.
In moderation.
You know,
and my doctor said that too. My doctor said, well, George, you don't have to stop eating pork or beef. Just eat it in moderation. For me personally, I just stop, period. I just stop.
Yeah, and I think the side effects to that is if, you know, you've gone 4 years without, you know, ribs and pork and all the other delicious meats, even though it is processed.
Y'all be rushing me to Orlando Health or Advent or somebody.
And that's what happened.
Let me eat one rib right now and see what happened to me.
Oh, you probably gonna, your body's gonna like, what is
my
this?
My body would probably shut down.
Yeah, because after you get rid of it and your body finally realizes, okay, oh, wow, this feels good. Okay. Now you put that thing back in your body. I don't know what this is.
Your body will reject it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny how you can eat stuff in moderations and not eat it in a while, but when you eat, it's like, oh, okay, all right, cool, I remember you. Come on back, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, you go
my body loves them chicken hormones though right now.
Oh, yeah.
I still eat chicken.
Oh, yeah, so. That's what that is. Man.
Maybe one day, I don't know, maybe one day I may drop that. I may drop that in turkey. I don't know. But it'd be tough taking, you know, that type of protein out my diet and try to supplement it with something else. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be the hard part. Like, you know, I understand chicken and you know, pork and all the other stuff, but getting rid of the chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. That's, you know, then talking about watermelon to go with it. Now, one thing I will stay off of is those seedless watermelons.
Yeah.
But think about it.
I'm not a big fan of watermelon anyway myself, so.
You don't do watermelon?
I like grapes and strawberries, that kind of stuff. Matter of fact, that's what I had for dinner last night. I had grapes and strawberries for dinner last night.
And those are things, like, you got your seedless grapes.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, last time I checked, you got to have a seed in order for it to grow. Yeah. Watermelon. See, you got to have a seed.
You bring up a whole nother point.
You got a seed. So you mean to tell me this thing, because, like, right now, it's not watermelon season, but yet you see all these patches of watermelons produced in the lab.
Gotcha.
They do something, and next thing you know, you got watermelons.
Yeah.
Now you got the seedless grape. How do a seedless grape grow without no damn seeds?
Amazing. It's amazing what technology has done for us and to us at the same time.
You
look at it. You got to look at it also even from government. Someone's making the decision to say, yeah, that's good for you. Somebody's passing this stuff through the FDA. There's some agency saying, yeah, this is good, this is okay. Well, where's the leadership? Where's the leaders that say, you know what, this is not okay? Or hey, wait a minute, we need to look at how we're doing things, how we're processing food, and what's the long-term effect of our citizens?
Those ones that get taken out. You see these movies. You got that one person in there that don't want to, play along. Yeah. They're going to get, hey, we're going to put this little orange overlook. Hey, I need you to pass this through. And they look at it. Well, I don't listen. You better pass it.
Yeah.
And they pass it. And then you got the one person that tells you, I don't think this is right. We shouldn't have to do this. Okay, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. Hey, tell Marge and the kids, you know, my best regards. They're trying to tell you, we're going to take you out if you don't get with the program.
As a politician, and I don't consider myself a politician, as a servant.
Yeah.
As a servant, you have to ask yourself sometime, even when you look at things that come to you as this is a great opportunity.
Right.
Sometimes you have to ask yourself, and it looks really good, and it sounds going to be good, not only good for everybody. It's going to be just the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to ask yourself every time these things come across your desk: is will this compromise my integrity? At any point, you always have to ask, no matter how good it may look, will this compromise my integrity? And you make your decisions from the dais or from Tallahassee, from D.C., we should be making our decisions based on asking ourselves that one question before we vote on any bills, before we vote on any ordinances or statutes or whatever it may be. Will this compromise my integrity to serve the people?
And that's just the sad part about it, because they ignore their integrity. For whatever their mindset is, whatever they're getting, integrity goes out the window.
Yeah.
Because I be listening at some of these laws and some of these bills that get passed. I'm like, do you have any ounce of integrity in your body? Like, you sit on, I'm not trying to get political because I'm not a politician, none of that. But sometimes the things has to be said. Like, how can you be part of a administration or a program that you know it compromises your integrity, but you still want to stay behind it, and you stay silent knowing like that's dead wrong, but you're sitting back watching it anyway happen? So as a city commissioner, you're a servant of the people.
Correct.
And a lot of people don't like whistleblowers. So when you see integrity issues being compromised and you know it's an integrity issue, like, do you like tell them to the side, like, hey, or do you blast them, or however, like, how do you handle when you see integrity being compromised?
You know, and here's the thing, me not being imperfect, I always ask my fellow commissioners, mayors, or fellow elected officials, say, look, hold me accountable. Because I'm not going to get any better if you don't.
Right.
Even though they may be doing it for malicious purposes.
Yeah.
Still hold me accountable because I'm always looking to say, what did I learn out of that? What can I learn out of that? But by the same token, you got to understand, if I ask you to hold me accountable, I'm going to hold you accountable as well. See, we're called to be conduits, not containers for people.
Oh, boy,
we're called to be servants of people. And see, and my personal philosophy is, I don't like politics. I really don't, even though that's the game that we all play.
Yeah.
So for me, it's people over politics and party. It has to be about people first.
Yes, I agree.
And again, we start talking about people doing something that may not, what I consider or what the majority consider to be to doing the right thing when it comes to establishing policies.
Yeah.
Somebody has to stand up. Somebody has to be a voice. Somebody has to sit, even if it's not popular. Yeah. Even if you got to walk, when you're walking by yourself or you're over here by yourself,
yeah,
and there's four or five other people saying, no, you're wrong. But I know in my heart and the people know that it's wrong. Somebody got to stand up for them, you know. I've taken that position many, many times. But guess what? I'm okay. I'm not there to make friends.
Yeah.
I'm there to serve people.
That's it.
And I let God handle the rest.
He can handle all the fallout.
I let him handle that. But what I'm doing, I'm being obedient to what God has told me to do, and
right,
that is serve my people.
Right.
Serve me first, serve my people, and I'll take care of the rest. So, again, policies come out all the time that some I agree with, some I don't agree with. But for the most part, I can say over the past few years in the city of Oak Court,
yeah,
we have passed a lot of good policies and good things that have enhance the lives of a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, again, from when I first started, it was a lot of fighting. It was a lot of fussing.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, we've almost come to blows,
wow,
you know, up there a few times. But for the most part, over the past couple of years, we have been able to create a park called Unity Park.
Yeah.
Where every name of every person that was affected by the Oak Court massacre,
right,
that was living in the city of Oak Court, now there's a memorial park, an entire park. Their names are lit up in lights.
And I heard they didn't even want that one at one point.
So at one point they didn't want it. We pushed, we fought, and the city commission finally came together, and we passed it. We footed the bill. We didn't go to the state. We didn't go to the county.
Yeah.
We footed that bill, and we put that memorial.
And so when you think about stuff like that, like when a person or a committee or somebody, they shouldn't do it because it's like, why would like a human being, like in your right mind, why wouldn't you want to memorialize those victims who were, you know, tragically killed or tragically wronged or, you know, something tragically happened? Why wouldn't you want to memorialize that? Why do you pick and choose who to memorialize?
Because, one, some things make people uncomfortable. And when you pull people out of the comfort zone, out of what's familiar to them, they get screams, getting uncomfortable. They don't want to address those things. They want to shy away from it because it's the easy thing to do.
Yeah.
But you got to have people that's going to call them to the mat and say, hey, look, you know what? I got to take you out your comfort zone. I need to stretch you. I need to twist you. I need to contort you so you can really see who you are. But also ask yourself, why are you truly here?
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that I do to myself all the time. That's something that being on that dais,
yeah,
in the city of Okoye has done to me. It's caused me to be isolated. It's caused me to be twisted,
yeah,
to be contorted, to be stretched, to be pulled, and to really have to look at myself in the mirror and say, George, why are you really here? What are you here to do, and why are you really here? What is your purpose, and what is your destiny?
Yeah. And I usually think when you get people out of that comfort zone, it's because it's a culture thing. I believe it's a culture thing that it's not happening in this culture, so therefore it's all good. But the moment it hits home to them, now it's like, okay, all right, we need to pass that. So it's almost like, what's the difference between this and that? It's the same situation, but because it didn't happen to your culture, mm-hmm, but it's happened to our culture, what makes our culture different from yours? And I thought at the end of the day, all lives, like they say, matters.
Absolutely. And you bring an excellent point because, again, when something is happening to someone else,
yeah,
and you look at that and you take that bystander apathy,
yeah,
and you step back, well, it's not my fight. It's not, mm-hmm, what I got to deal with. But all of a sudden, let that come down your street. Let it come down your senator's street, your congressperson's street. Now it becomes their problem. Then they start to realize, wait a minute, hold on. Okay, we got a problem now.
Now we got a problem.
Now it's affecting me and mine. Now we have a problem. And now we
want to
do something about it. Now we
want to
march. And now we want to hold the torches and the pitchforks. And we want to do all that now that affected me. So we got to get people to the point to understand that just because it's not affecting you, it is affecting you. Because one day it's going to come down your street. You can either stand up now and stand up for what's right. Or you can sit back and take that apathetic approach or posture.
Yeah.
And then when it hits your street, by the time it gets to you, it's 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Because we could have done something about it.
A long time ago.
And I'll just add this one little point. One of the things I deal with when I deal with the city and the county, because I speak to the county quite a bit about projects in my district that's run by the county, is traffic lights. Traffic lights at dangerous intersections and enhancing those traffic lights or just adding one to it. And then and I'm preaching for years about this traffic light because now we go through this bureaucratic red tape of how do we get a traffic light. We got to do case studies. We got to do studies here. We got to do surveys. We got to look at this.
Man, just put the traffic light up there and keep it moving.
There's a war study, you know, right there, right? Even though a couple of people have died, had a bunch of accidents, but let a family of five going through that intersection at 11 o'clock at night on their way home from Disney or whatever, gets T-boned and everybody dies.
Watch how quick that traffic light
gets up there. There's a traffic light there within a matter of days. So what does that tell you? Mm. It tells you that we can do, as elected officials, as leaders, what we want to do.
Yeah. They give you all the bureaucratic BS, bull crap, bull jive, and next thing you know, let it happen to them. That thing going to be up before you know it.
Yeah,
right before you wake up the next morning. Oh, they going to see the people up there putting it up. No, you guys okay. You guys, and same thing with stop signs. No, we going to put no stop sign here. Y'all just be more careful, whatever. All right, let that same situation happen, but it's your folks now. That thing finna get put up. So
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
But Commissioner, I know you got elections coming up. Is that election year? Now, I heard you say something earlier about County Commissioner, Orange County. Why the change?
I have decided that for right now, I represent District 4 in the city of Ocoee.
Mm-hmm.
And my influence goes within District 4, the city of Ocoee. That's about 15,000 residents.
Okay.
Now, you know, I ran for mayor in 2023. Yep. Was not successful because I wanted to represent the entire city of Ocoee.
Right.
And I want to be able to invoke change and move the city in a direction that we can leave a nice legacy for our children. Well, the opportunity to become a Orange County Commissioner has come before me. Through a lot of prayer and supplication, God has said, go forward, move, pursue it.
Yeah.
And now I'm pursuing to be the next Orange County Commissioner for District 2, which represents all of Ocoee, all of Apopka, all of Sorrento, all of Zellwood, all of Plymouth, all of Lockhart. So two municipalities and five townships. Now, the impact that we can make from that perspective is actually a lot greater than the District 4. So I'm not leaving Ocoee. So I just want to make that very clear.
Okay.
Most people are going to say, why is he leaving us? After he's been fighting to get for re-election after re-election, I'm not leaving Ocoee. I'm actually there. I'm moving to the next level in order to make the lives better for people in Ocoee and Apopka and all those townships.
Right.
I feel that we actually have a plan, a great plan that's going to help enhance the lives of folks. I'd also mention the county's been ready to spend over $10 billion the next 5 years. We want to be able to have influence over that $10 billion to go into our district to be able to increase the safety on our roads, increase our infrastructure. How do we get small business engaged in these projects throughout the county?
Right.
So I'm looking at it not only just District 2, but how can I work with other commissioners to actually not only move the needle, but how do we move the dial in this entire county and move us in a direction that we can start setting up a legacy for the people that live here and our children?
Man, that's great. So when does this election start? When can people start, you know, voting and when does it hit the ballots?
Actually, the primary election is April 18th.
Okay.
I'm sorry, not April. August 18th.
I
apologize for that. August 18th.
August, okay.
Early voting for that will probably start somewhere around the first week in August.
Okay.
And folks can start looking for candidates out there campaigning.
Yeah.
And I will say this. Folks, get out and vote. We're in some perilous times. We are more separated as a country than ever. We're polarized. I mean, literally polarized. And this is the time for people to really get out and not only register, but actually get out and vote. But more importantly, know the candidates. Do a little research. If it only takes 5 minutes just to Google somebody.
Do the research.
Just do a little bit of research before you go out and cast a vote based on a person wearing a blue shirt, a green shirt, or yellow shirt, or you like the way they wear their hair, or you like the way they look in a suit. Don't be that fickle. Be an educated voter. Even if you only educate yourself for 5 minutes, go and look up every candidate for 5 minutes and say, okay, I'm going to vote based on this is how it's going to affect my life.
If it's going to be morally fitting to me.
Correct.
Is it going to jeopardize my integrity? Does it go against my morals and values?
Absolutely.
And when they say politicians are poli-liars, I just say go out, do your research, find out what candidate fits your needs, and if that candidate checks that box and they have the same integrity as you, then by all means, you did it based on your research.
Absolutely.
You did it based on the fact that it aligns with what I do. Now, if that person is not the majority that people like, but that person aligns with you, then, hey, maybe that person, you are that same type of person. So that's why I realize sometimes people, when they vote for certain people, like, how did you vote for that person? Or why did you not know da-da-da-da? Well, they are just like me. So I'm going to vote for them.
Absolutely.
So
yep.
That's how I see it. So, Commissioner, how can the people find you on social media, especially those that are going to be impacted the most in your district?
Yeah.
How can they locate you and start donating to you? Can they start donating?
Yes, you can start donating to my campaign.
Let's talk to it.
You can reach out to me on Facebook. I'm at georgeoliverthird.com. That's georgeoliverthird. That's the number 3RD. .com, georgeoliverthird.com. I'm on Instagram, georgeoliverthird. I'm on Snapchat, georgeoliverthird. I'm on every actual major platform. You can actually reach me through georgeoliverthird.com. I'm also on Facebook as Commissioner George Oliver III, and you can actually go to my website, directly to my website, which is georgeoliverthird.com, and you can read all about George Oliver and the things that we've done. You can read about my programs, my processes. You can read about my platforms. You read about the things we've done, accomplishments. You read about my leadership style. Everything about George Oliver is right there with my heart on my sleeves. You get what you see. What you see here is what you get. So I don't pull any punches, but I'm here to serve people. That's my whole goal, is to serve God and also serve people, to be a servant of the folks, of the people.
Man, that's good. And I'm going to leave y'all with this little tip, because Commission dropped some gems earlier. Isolation can cause elevation. Remember it. Think about it. Just try it. Put your phones down. Or Erykah Badu might make you put your phone down. But put your phones down, just isolate yourself, and find out how quickly you can elevate yourself and realize some of the things that you probably never knew about yourself, because you can't do it if you're constantly being distracted by other things. So until next time, it's your main man, TJ Chapman. And remember to keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.